Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com. At MidwayUSA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to How To Tuesday for this week. You know, I got a question through the email podcast at Saltwater Experience this week asking about seasickness. And I started to launch into doing a episode entirely on seasickness by myself. And then I remembered this conversation that I had with Jason Stemple in episode number 22. Jason Stemple, as you know, is an expert photographer that accompanies me on pretty much every one of my trips that I go on, Into the Blue being the most challenging. It's done offshore. And people that do videography, photography, staring through binoculars can really kind of throw you into a little bit of seasickness when you might not always be kind of susceptible to it. What it does is it kind of magnifies things. And guys, I've seen some good photographers go down from seasickness. So Jason rarely does. I've never seen him really out down for the count. And so I asked him about what he does for seasickness, how he manages that. And he's a great one to go to, because if you can just imagine that everything he's doing just magnifies it probably times 10. So what he does is good for everybody. And when I started thinking about it, I was like, you know, those tips that he talked about would be a good How To Tuesday. So that's this week's How To Tuesday, how to avoid seasickness with my good friend and expert photographer, Jason Stemple. So how do you manage to look through the viewfinder most of the day and not get seasick? Because I know that I've seen some pretty well-known photographers go down. And I have also looked through either binoculars or a camera lens for a while, and I don't get seasick. But all of a sudden, you start feeling, woo, that's tough. I mean, that will send you down. That I don't suggest that on an offshore boat, and I don't suggest ever going below deck to go to the bathroom or whatever. That is the recipe for getting really sick really fast. So how do you have any tips on not getting seasick when you're looking through a camera lens?
Well, I have to take Dramamine. So I take that you told me before, take it the night before and then in the morning.
Yeah.
If there's any chance you might be susceptible to getting seasick, I'm kind of on and off. You know, if it's not bad, I don't need to take it. But if it's really bad, which we still go out generally.
always.
We always go out. I'll take the pills and it helps, but it doesn't always do it, you know? So when you're out there, you know, don't stare through a, you know, telephoto lens for too long. Definitely be completely prepared to have everything you need on you. Because if you go down and look in your bag, it's not going to go well. You know,
yeah.
If you're in your camera box for more than a second or two, that's when it hits the switch on you. So,
And that's what most captains will tell you. You know, if you start struggling with seasickness or feeling like that, just stare at the horizon. Yep. And staring at the horizon, you know, is good. Looking in the camera box is bad. Going below decks is worse. Yeah. But I also think that just staying busy, you're keeping your mind active and, and you're not thinking about becoming seasick. I think when people sit there and go, I don't know if I'm feeling seasick, then that's when it's absolutely happening. So if you keep your mind active, you know, you're rigging, you're helping people do other things, seems to help, not get seasick. But
yeah, I don't think I've ever felt sick, too sick, on good fishing days.
Yeah.
You know, it's always the day, you know, and I'm not talking about the weather. I'm talking, even if it's super rough, if the fishing's good and there's stuff to shoot and things are happening, you're, like you said, your mind's engaged and you're doing stuff.
Yeah.
When the fishing's slow and you're anchored up and nothing's happening and you start to think about it, that's when it goes bad.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that Dramamine too, because for me, I don't really get seasick, but it, I think becoming seasick for a lot of people, me included, is mostly in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you start thinking about it and you start Absolutely. Thinking, I think I'm getting seasick, you are getting seasick. So I'm in a situation to where I'm not able to take Dramamine because it has an effect on me that renders me unconscious all day. I mean, seriously, like if I needed to take, I don't know, if I needed to be unconscious for something, a long plane trip, a dental emergency, I could just take a Dramamine and I would be completely unconscious. And that stuff has such an effect on me that I just simply can't take it and fish or work or produce the shows or do anything. Yeah. I mean, I am completely unconscious. And so somebody told me before, like when we first started Into the Blue, and I, you know, I certainly didn't have the experience offshore in the type of weather conditions that we were going. Everyone else is canceling and we're saying, no, we got to go. I mean, we need shows. So, I mean, it's blowing 35 miles an hour and we're going offshore. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, ooh, I better take something. And somebody along the way told me about, you know, if it really knocks you out, you should take one the night before and then maybe take a half that morning. Yeah. Because, you know, Dramamine is like 12 hours. So if you take it at bedtime, say you go to bed at 11 and you wake up at 6, well, you've got, it has fully taken effect. So when you step on the boat, it's already in your bloodstream, mm-hmm. and you're coming off a rest. So it doesn't make you're a little groggy, but it doesn't just knock you out immediately unconscious. And it's already in your bloodstream. So you get offshore where it's really rough. And when you're just kind of getting your bearings, it's already in you and you don't get seasick right away. That has been a very good tip. Yeah. And then I find that if, you know, you feel like that's not enough, then maybe you can take another half on the boat or another full on the boat. Where I see a lot of people that have the same issue with it that I do, they take it first thing in the morning and by 10 o'clock they're unconscious and they just don't enjoy the day. So for your kids or for whatever, even for yourself, you might try taking it the night before and not taking it on the day of fishing, and maybe that's enough and you don't get knocked out completely.
Yeah. And I also think too, if you take too much, I mean, it does, it makes me kind of a little foggy, but it doesn't knock me out, but it makes me kind of foggy and slower on my feet. And I think that has hurt me before too, when I wasn't feeling my best. And I think I had taken too much and I was a little foggy. So it kind of, I wasn't at my best and I wasn't controlling my body as much as I needed to be, you know, when you're offshore, you're getting beat up,
your pictures
start getting thrown around. It affects you more.
And that affects your pictures because the sailfish is already back in the water and you're just taking pictures of holes in the water.
Yes, damn. Exactly.
I would think that a dolphin or a wahoo, mm-hmm. you know, like a jumping fish, a kingfish, a kingfish, I think could be difficult because
they don't jump at any, they jump when they eat. You know, they might jump after, but they don't. It's completely unpredictable.
They get 20 feet in the air, but they're unpredictable. Where I find that a tarpon and a sailfish lot of times are doing this jumping late in the fight, right at the boat. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the sailfish, some of the best shots you've ever taken of the sailfish appear as though you just stop this fish in mid jump. But what's really happening is they're kind of in a tail walk and they're just kind of staying on the surface, half their body out of the water, half their body in the water. And they just keep doing this for 6, 8, 10 feet along.
Yeah.
And the trick is maintaining that focus as the fish is moving either closer to you or further away, which can be very challenging. That's often where I end up with a photograph that I'm disappointed in because I'm thinking, how could I miss, you know? But then you zoom it in a little bit and you look at the fish's face or his eye and it's out of focus and you know, you just weren't able to maintain that. The cameras now, there's some cameras that can help you with that.
There's tracking and focus tracking and stuff. And,
right. And that's often the best pictures I've ever taken of the tarpon too, or not, you know, eat and jump. That's when they're going to jump the fastest. It's later in the fight when you're just about to grab the fish. Maybe you've already even put your hands on it once, and then it's 6 feet from the boat, and it does two or three leaps right by the boat. And and they're slower, and they're more predictable, and you see the fish rising up in the water, and then all of a sudden it just, you know, goes, and it may be even doing a little bit of a tail walk, or you might see it hit two or three jumps right at the late stages of the fight, which are slower jumps and offer the photographer a better chance of getting it if you know what you're looking for, you know, if you're prepared.
And a bigger factor there is the closer the fish jumps to the boat, the wider of an angle you can use in your lens and more that will be in focus.
Yeah.
So if you're zoomed way out on a fish that's, you know, 100, 200 feet from the boat, your depth of field is tiny. So you have to be dead on with your focus, where if it's closer to the boat, the angle of the lens is wider, more stuff is in focus. So
cool.
And a wider angle lens doesn't need as much light. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's, those are all good tips, man. And, I think we've pretty much gone down this whole list of things that I wanted to ask you. But mostly, I think the first few minutes of this conversation were probably some of the best tips that we had. The way that you hold the fish, the way that you're positioning yourself with the light, paying attention to the background, and just being generally mindful of the composition of the shot, I think is going to help a lot of people take a better picture. So if you guys are out there taking better pictures and this podcast has helped you, why don't you tag us on Instagram? You can tag Jason Stemple. What's your handle on Instagram?
At Jason Stemple Photo.
So at Jason Stemple Photo, tag your best photo and let Jason take a look at it. And maybe he can get back to you with some ways that it could be improved. Or maybe he just says, man, super jealous. That is the best shot I've ever seen. But either way, tag us on Instagram, tag me. You can tag Tom_Roland or Saltwater Experience, and also Jason Stemple Photo. Follow him, and you can, if you're an aspiring photographer, I would strongly recommend that you follow Jason, because he is putting some of his best work is right there on Instagram for you to look at. And you can look at the composition, you can look at the way that he does the light, you can really start to reverse engineer his photos to make your own photos better. Maybe you don't want to be a professional photographer. Maybe you have no desire to be a professional photographer, but everybody likes to take a good picture. And Jason's been kind enough to offer how long have you been a professional photographer, Jason?
Oh, well, let's just say 20 years.
Okay, let's say 20 years, because neither one of us want to feel very old. But Jason's been at it for a long time. He's made the transition from regular film photography and darkroom type work to digital photography and editing on the computer. And he's really picked up a lot of stuff. And he, in my opinion, he's one of the best photographers out there. And so follow him on Instagram and you can kind of reverse engineer those photos and compare some of your best work to some of his best work. And he's an open book, man. If you reach out to him, tell him you like his work and maybe he'll help you out with some of the questions that you might have on general photography. But anyway, thanks so much, Jason. And we will do it again. If you guys like this podcast, please go and rate and review it on iTunes. And again, tag us on Instagram or wherever your social media exploits take you. And until next week, we will we'll see you. Thanks a lot. See you, Jason.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping. Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.